Good evening again and welcome. Certainly glad to see you all here again this evening, and especially glad for those of you who are visiting with us to have you here in our midst this evening. I want to commend Tom for the outstanding job that he did with the lesson this morning. I always tell him, it's like when he goes first, he sets the bar of expectation that I feel I have to live up to in the evening. You know, one of the things that Tom mentioned this morning is that, you know, each of us that share this pulpit, we have different styles of delivery that we like to use. And Tom and David and I were talking after the sermon this morning that, you know, Tom prefers a more topical type of sermon, whereas me, myself, I prefer a more textual type of sermon. And there is no, in terms of importance, there's no style that's more preferred than others. It's just whatever your personality is and the way my brain functions. Textual works better for me because it gives a good illustration that then you could draw principles from. And so tonight, that's what I would like to present to you is I've chosen an illustration in the New Testament of a particular person that I think we can draw a lot of inspiration and just motivation by their life. And the example that I'm thinking of this evening is that of Cornelius. And the thing that I like about Cornelius is that even though he did not fully understand Christ and what it took for a person to receive salvation, he still did everything that he knew to do to live a life that was honorable to God. And once he received more complete instruction, he was obedient to the word that was given to him. And so Cornelius is an example that all of us can follow in terms of what it means to live a life in full devotion to the Lord. So if you would turn with me to the book of Acts, and we will, the book of Acts chapter number 10 more specifically, and we will start reading in verse number 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. I want to point out from this passage that we have read some traits about Cornelius that I think can serve as an example to each of us, no matter where we are in our particular level of faith. The first thing I want to point out to you is how Cornelius is described. In verse number 2, Cornelius is described as a devout man. Devout, that word means, according to Webster, to be continually and totally committed to a cause or belief. And so as a child of God, that is one of the things that we are called to do, is to be totally committed to following Jesus Christ. But what I appreciate even more about Cornelius, this was a man who did not know God thoroughly. Now, the Bible doesn't give us any indication up to this point of what he knew about God or how he came to know about God. But with the knowledge that he had up to that point, guess what he was doing? He was doing everything that he thought was good to do in order to live a life that pleased God. And so one of the things that I have to ask myself when I think about Cornelius is, based on what I know to do that is right, am I doing everything that is within my power to live a life that is pleasing and honorable to God? each of us are at different levels of spiritual maturity. There are several things that are within the Bible that I still just do not understand. The book of Revelations, for example. Some things in the book of Daniel. I'm good up until about chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. But after that, some things a little fuzzy. But guess what? There are a lot of things within the Bible that I do understand. So here's the expectation that God has for me. Based on what I do know, am I doing my all with due diligence to be obedient to that what I know is right to do? Am I devout? Am I totally committed in the things that I know God instructs me to do to live a life that's honorable to God? Another thing that I appreciate about Cornelius is he was obedient to the word of God once he got new instructions. See, up to that point, he was doing everything that he knew was right to do, but he was lacking some very important details, wasn't he? But notice his response when the angel appears to him and says, your prayers have come before God. Now you need to send for Simon Peter and he'll tell you what you must do. In other words, Cornelius, there's some things that you're lacking. You've done a diligent job up to this point, but so far you're still incomplete and there's some more things that you must do. Notice the response from Cornelius in verse number 7. It says, when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continuously. And when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Additionally, if you skip down to verse number 30 in this same chapter, once Simon Peter shows up and he has a conversation with Cornelius to ask the reason why he's been called there, look at the response from Cornelius in verse number 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak with you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So in other words, Cornelius says, as soon as I realized there were some things that I was lacking, I didn't hesitate. I did not tarry. I sent for you immediately. And now that you are here, I am present and I am willing and ready to hear everything that you've been commanded by God to instruct me. Do we have that same type of mindset? Do we approach God's word with the attitude that when I sit down to my Bible study, I am prepared and committed to do that which I'm instructed to do? Tom mentioned in his lesson this morning that after each of the Bible studies, we always ask for daily Bible readers. I would ask you, when you sit down to do your daily study in God's word, what is your approach? Do you go in with the mind of whatever it is that I encounter in this word of instruction, I am ready and willing to apply it in my life? See, that is the attitude that Cornelius had. Not knowing exactly what it was that Peter was going to deliver to him in turn of a message from the Lord. But whatever that message was, his attitude was, we are here and we are ready to receive that word. Oh, that we would have that same mentality, that whenever we come into the place of worship and we are encountering God's word or we do our own personal studies and devotions, that our attitude would be like that of Cornelius, that our devotion to God's word will spark an attitude of, I am ready to receive and diligently do all that I'm instructed to do. When it comes to being totally committed to following the Lord, have you taken the time to fully appreciate what all that means? In the book of, I believe it's Luke, When we are given instruction on what the Lord expects from us in terms of our devotion to Him, He says if we're not willing to give all in service to Him, we are not worthy to be His disciples. Do we have that type of commitment to where we are ready and willing to be devout in our service to the Lord and follow Him no matter what He asks us to do? I believe one of the things that also we can learn by example from Cornelius is in verse number 2, not only was he described as a devout man, verse number 2 says he was a man who feared God with all of his household. I don't know about you all, but it seems like the fear of God is something that is less and less abundant in our society. I fear sometimes it may also be in smaller and smaller quantities, even within the body of Christ. But let's look at what the Bible says about the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." You can also find a parallel passage in Psalm 111 in verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, parents, one of the most important things that you can do in raising your children as you're teaching them how to read and to write and do math is to teach them to have a healthy fear and respect for the Lord. And when we talk about the fear of the Lord, what we're talking about is reverence and awe. Now, I was raised in the type of family where it was probably taken a little too much to the extreme in situations like in my grandmother's house, you couldn't even play cards on Sunday. And I'm not talking about playing poker. You couldn't even play Uno on a Sunday. So that was a little too far to the extreme. But the point was, you need to have some respect for the Lord. I remember there was a time as a child I wouldn't have even fathomed to write in my Bible. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with my Bible. You look at writing in the Bible, if you look at one of my study Bibles, I have writing all in the margins. But do you know how difficult that was for me the first time that I underlined something in a Bible? That was like a mental block that I had to get through because it was beat into my head from a very young age. You will have respect for God's word. I wonder, do we have that same respect for the word of God? Do we have that reverence? Thinking back to what I mentioned about Cornelius and his willingness to fully obey whatever he was instructed of the Lord, I wonder, was some of that born out of the fact that he revered God's word? That healthy fear of the Lord will motivate us to do what it is that God instructs us to do. Not only that, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." And likewise, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 23, it says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." You know, as I read more and more about this, I get the idea that the fear of the Lord ain't such a bad thing. In fact, if you really take the time to examine it, based on the verses we've read so far, the fear of the Lord is actually something that works to our benefit. Having that healthy respect and reverence for the Lord as our sovereign ruler and creator of the universe. And then also in Luke chapter number 1, verse 50, it says, "His mercy extends to those who fear him." So not only was Cornelius a devout man who was totally committed to living a life honorable to God, Cornelius was a man that lived his life with a respectful reverence and fear of the Lord. His devotion to God and his fear of the Lord, those are evident in the behaviors that he demonstrated. Look at verse number 2. It says he was a devout man and one who feared God and with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. The question I have to ask myself is, do my behaviors and actions reflect my devotion and my fear of the Lord? See, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." I don't know about you all, but that verse makes a chill run up my spine. That all of us will stand before the judgment seat and give an account. I was thinking about this as an illustration earlier today. Typically, when you're raising children, when your children misbehave, you want to apply instant correction and chastisement, right? And why do we do that? Because you want to have a means of deterrence. That way, when they get into a situation where they have a choice between doing what they know is right to do versus not doing that, what you're hoping is they have that healthy fear of the consequences that may come that will prevent them from doing that behavior. Think about what that means to us as children of God. If we will have that healthy fear and reverence for God to obey his word, what need do we have to fear judgment? I remember as a child growing up, my mom would leave me during the day by myself quite a bit as she would go and run errands, and she would give me a list of things to do and also give me some instruction on things not to do. I don't know about you all, but I was a lot more excited to see her come home when I had done everything on that list that she told me to do versus hearing that car pull up in the driveway and half the stuff on the list wasn't done. And you get that little heartbeat that races a little bit faster and your mouth gets a little dry and you're like, what's going to be the consequences of her coming in and finding the work not done? What do you think that feeling would be like on Judgment Day? I'll be honest with you, I don't want to know. I would much rather stand in the judgment knowing that I had done everything on that list. Everything that I knew was right to do, and then you can look forward to the judgment. That excitement that you had when your parents came back home and you had done everything on the list, and you couldn't wait to show them everything that you had done. Why? Because you wanted that praise in the accolades that came along with meeting their expectations. Don't you want to have the same attitude when you meet our sovereign ruler and creator on the judgment day, instead of having that fear of judgment? So we can take an example from Cornelius in terms of having that fear of God to live our lives in a way that's honorable and pleasing to him. Another thing that I want to point out about Cornelius, his commitment and devotion to the Lord was something that had an influence on the people around him as well, too. Look at verse number 2 again. It says, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household. So not only was Cornelius living a life of one that was trying to be honorable and faithful to the Lord, but his entire household as well. This extends beyond just his immediate family, meaning his spouse and any children that he would have. This would have also included any servants in his house as well, too. For example, if you skip down to verse number 7, when he sends messengers to Simon Peter, it says, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And so Cornelius was the type of person that his influence spread to everyone that was around him in his inner circle. In addition to that, think about the impact that he had in terms of sharing his beliefs on those who were closest to him. For example, when Simon Peter shows up to meet with Cornelius, look at the response in verse number 22. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among the nation of the Jews. These are the messengers that are going to Simon Peter to give the message that Cornelius wants to meet with him. Look how they describe him. A just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among the Jews. Not only that, when Simon Peter shows up in verse number 24, it says, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends." He was so excited about hearing the word that was going to be delivered from Simon Peter from the Lord. Not only was he there and ready to receive it, guess what he also did? He called his relatives and close friends to share in that word as well, too. You know, I can't help but look at this example of Cornelius and wonder, am I living up to these same expectations? When I think about coming to the assembly on Sunday mornings, when I think about coming to Bible classes, do I have that same enthusiasm to God's word to where I'm inspired and motivated to want to invite people to come and share in that word too? If I have to be honest with you, I'm probably falling quite short in that area. And then I have to ask myself, do I have the type of enthusiasm for receiving God's word that I need to have? To where now it sparks something in me that I want to invite other people to share in that word. Because see, that's what we see in Cornelius. Not only was he there in attendance and ready and willing to receive, he wanted everyone that he knew to come and hear the exact same word. And as a result, all of those who were there and heard the word, all of them received salvation on that occasion, we're told later on in this passage. Think about the impact that he had on all those around him, not only because of the example that he gave, but also by his willingness to freely share that with everyone that he came into contact with as well, too. One of the things that we're told in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 15, Jesus says, "And go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." One of the things that I know that I need to get better at is realizing just what I have in Christ. I use this for illustration, you know, because I'm limited in capacity in my examples. I'm either going to give you a military example or a sports example. I've been given a lot of military, so I'm going to give you a sports example today. Think about on a Saturday evening and you watch a SEC football game, and I don't care who's playing. You pick your team, and it's an exciting game, one of those games that's back and forth, and it comes all the way down to the wire, and the game's decided on the very last play of the game. Think about the rush of emotions that you feel in that type of situation, and think about every time you come in contact with someone that you know shares your enthusiasm and passion for sports. You probably can't wait to talk to them about that game, can you? Probably every person that you come in contact with, that's the first thing that you talk about. In fact, some Sunday mornings we'll be out there in the foyer and we'll be talking about the game that happened on Saturday morning. I wonder, do we have the same enthusiasm and the same passion for sharing God's word? And if not, I have to ask the question, why not? And I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to you all right now. What the question I ask is, what am I lacking? Is there something that I don't value, something that I don't fully appreciate that causes me to not have that enthusiasm to share the word the way that I need to? And so what I thought I might do just for a moment is to remind us of the hope that all of us have, which may serve as a means of motivation to inspire us to want to go and share that with everyone around us. So if you would turn with me briefly to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. And as I was turning, looking for it, I was reminded that Romans comes after Acts and not before Acts. I was like, what am I doing in Luke? In Romans chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This is a verse that I think from time to time is helpful to go back to remind us just who we were apart from God. See, you have to put it in the terms that the Bible uses. See, apart from Christ, the Bible says we were enemies of God. And it says because we were enemies of God, we were subject to face God's wrath. And it is only because of the love of Christ that was poured out on us that now we have peace with God. And see, if that right there doesn't give us incitement, I don't know what will. See, that's something that I have to be reminded of from time to time, of who I was apart from Christ and who I am now and what that means that I have access to. Just the fact alone that I have peace with God and am no longer subject to his wrath is enough for me. The question is it enough for us to want to go and share that with those around us so that they may have peace with God also? See, the example that I take from Cornelius, he was so excited about what he was receiving from God, he wanted everyone else to have that too. Shouldn't we want the same thing for our relatives and our friends and those that are closest to us? And so that's a lesson that we can take from Cornelius, not only in his devotion and wanting to fully obey all that he was instructed by the Lord. He had a healthy fear of the Lord, which motivated him to be obedient to God's word. But more importantly to that, the influence that he had on those that were around him. Those are all important examples that we can each take from the life of Cornelius, that we too can live a life that is honorable to God. This evening, if you are not a child of God and you have not yet obeyed the gospel, we just read the verse in Romans that says, apart from Christ, we are enemies of God. But the good news is you don't have to leave here in that same position. You can be reconciled to Christ through your obedience to the gospel here this evening by your confession in Christ as your Savior and the Son of God, repenting of your sins and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you have already obeyed the gospel and you have not lived up to your responsibilities or you have fallen away, you can be restored here this evening. Or whatever your needs are, we ask that you bring them before us now as we all together stand and sing.